Church, we serve an amazing God. Amen? Amen. I just want to open up in prayer. Just pray again. Father God, I want to pray, Lord, that as we enter into this time, the message, Lord, that you'd anoint my tongue. Lord, you'd help me to be sensitive to your presence. And pray, Lord, that you'd open people's hearts, Lord, that they'd be willing to hear, Lord, but not only willing to hear, but willing to put it into action. Holy Spirit, come and have your way here this morning. We thank you for this now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, this week, as I was sort of searching my heart, what to share this morning, I was thinking back to a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, my dad shared on dreams. And it got me thinking, like God, what dreams have you put on my heart? You know, where are you wanting me to go? The trouble with that is maybe God starts opening new paths or making you think, well, is the road that I'm on at the moment the right road to be traveling? And it's sometimes a scary experience. But it got me thinking in another direction as well. It got me thinking, well, what are my priorities? What are those things that are most important to me? What are those things that are really sort of driving me forward? What am I getting up in the morning to do? And it led me to the next question that I want to ask, but rhetorically, is, well, what are you doing? What am I doing as a member of Christian Heritage Church? What do I get up and do every day? I mean, what is my purpose? And the part of this also came along on as part of my journey. I found myself very busy. Life kind of happens, and you know, I work in a corporate environment, and it gets crazy. Some weeks you're working late nights, then you have commitments outside of work, then you have church commitments, then you have this that you're doing, then you've got that that you're doing, and before you know it, you know, 20 years have passed, and nothing's changed. You're exactly the same person that you were 10 years ago. Your relationship with God has maybe stagnated. Maybe you've had some highs. Maybe you've had some lows. But where are you going? It's all good having a dream. But what good is that dream if you don't ever step up to the plate and pursue it? It really got me thinking about priorities. Then a couple of weeks ago, the team that I work in, we have a WhatsApp group, and somebody sent this short video, and everybody in the group was commenting about this video. I had no clue what they were talking about. I was so in my zone about this client deliverable that I needed to get out and my outside commitments that for about 3 days, 4 days, I didn't even look at the messages. And when I looked at the message and I watched the video, my boss said, "No, Josh, listen here, you need to watch this video. You have to see what's on this video." And like, okay, whatever, let me watch this thing. What's this guy going on about? And it was like this, I want to say, possibly this Hindu guy from India, busy talking about life. And I'm like, okay, like what are these guys sending me? What is the message that they're trying to get across? The message was simple. The message was simply, sometimes we get so busy, and we think that we're so important, and that the thing that we're doing right now is so important, that we don't take time to just sort of step back. Take a step back and take a break. Take a step back just to have a look at life. He made a point. He said, if you had to die today, would the world miss you? No. Maybe some people will. Maybe your family. But will the world miss you? Is that thing that's so important right now, that thing at work, is that thing really that important? Because tomorrow somebody else can do it. If we think about the workplace, many of us that are in the workplace know that the workplace views you as replaceable. Cool, so you're not going to do it. Fine, I'll find somebody else that will. And it really sort of got me thinking, you know, if that's what If that's what life is, you know, just somewhere where I'm in a constant rat race, constantly chasing my tail, is that really what it's all about? The answer's simple, absolutely not. But it got me asking questions about what I'm doing and what are my priorities. You know, what is life all about? And it reminded me about a passage in Ecclesiastes. So if you wouldn't mind opening your Bibles in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So just a little bit on the message that I'm going to be sharing this morning. A lot of it is sort of where I'm at the moment, things that I'm sort of working through. But I'm sure for each of us this morning, or I'm hoping that for each of us, there'll be some part of it that you can say, I identify with that, or this is somewhere where hopefully God is taking me. Hopefully you can take something from my story and apply it to your own lives. So if we look at chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. But what do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to end. See, when I look at this and I'm thinking about the rat race, there's an allocated time for everything. But as I said, I started thinking about, well, what's important to me? What are those things that I really want to do? Is it important that I advance my career so far that I'm earning buckets of money, but that I don't have time to spend with my family? That I don't have time to do the things that are important to me? That I don't have time to do the will of God? Because I'm so caught up in chasing what the world has put in front of me. So in all these questions, and often I think about, well, when I start asking myself, well, what is it that I want to be doing with my time? What is it that God wants me to do? This Ecclesiastes talks about the burden that God has put on us, and that he's planted eternity in my heart, but I can't see the whole picture. Like, what does all of this mean? And I feel like every time when I'm asking myself, well, what does all this mean? There's only one person that I really can look to. I need to see, well, what did Jesus do when he was on the earth? What did Jesus prioritize? What is the map that has been laid out before me? Because if there is a dream that I'm supposed to pursue, or if there's anything that I should be spending my time on, I should be following in his footsteps. I should be saying, well, what did Jesus think was so important that he is willing to put off some things and spend time on other things? So in this week, I was reading in John chapter 4. And John chapter 4 tells an interesting, it's an interesting story. It's a story that I assume all of us have probably heard at one stage. And it's basically about the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So obviously Jesus and his disciples have been ministering in a couple of different places, and they get to this town, and obviously Jesus decides he's gonna stay outside. The disciples decide they're going to go into the town. They're going to get some food. And he's sitting at this well, and this lady comes to draw some water, and he starts a conversation with her. Number one, she was worth his time. And as he's telling her the story, he tells her about the living water. And she says, yes, I want this living water. And he tells her some things about her life that nobody else knew. And that's cool. I don't want to take away from that. But what I want to focus on is, I think it's verse 23. After Jesus has had this discussion with this woman, after he's made time, let's just think about this. After the King of the universe has made time for a Samaritan woman, which is just phenomenal because being Jewish and being male, he probably shouldn't have been speaking to her in the first place because of the stereotypes that were in place at the time. But she was important. She was important because she would go and make a difference. She'd go into a town and say, come and meet a man who's told me all I've ever done. Salvation came to that town because Jesus made time for a woman that nobody else wanted to make time for. But after that, the disciples come back and they want to give Jesus some food. And then Jesus said something absolutely incredible. Verse 32 says, Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. The disciples then go ask, did someone bring him food while we were gone? And then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You see, Jesus' priority was doing the will of God. Then I've got to ask myself a question. How much of what I do is about doing the will of God? I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, have a shower, get in my car, drive to work, help a whole bunch of people save tax, drive home, go to a music practice, go to bed, watch some series. How much of that is doing the will of God? How much of that is achieving what I've been called to do? How much of that is prioritizing what I should be prioritizing? How much of that advances the kingdom of God? How much of that draws me closer to Jesus? No, I think an incredible thing my dad showed us here a couple of weeks ago, what his morning routine is. How easy is it for us to get stuck in that? How easy is it for us to just, okay, cool, what am I going to do today? Well, let's do what I did yesterday. It makes me think, sorry, I'm smiling because I just thought of a cartoon that myself and my sister loved to watch back in the day. There's a cartoon called Phineas and Ferb. And every morning, they're on summer vacation, they wake up and Phineas says to Ferb, so Ferb, what are we going to do today? Well, what are we going to do today to make an impact in the kingdom of God? And it's simple. Sometimes it's about making time for people that we wouldn't ordinarily make time for. Again, if we carry on looking at the story of Jesus, who else did he make time for? Who can remember the story where he says, let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to me. Jesus prioritized children. Jesus prioritized children. Why would the Son of God think that they are so important? Their hearts are clean and innocent. Their hearts are exactly the way that our hearts should be. I mean, he wasn't concerned about performing the next big miracle. He wanted to spend time with those kids. Are we prioritizing time with children? Whether it be our own, whether it be your grandchildren, whether it be the children that are in your circle. How are we influencing the little ones around us? How are we protecting their innocence that the world is trying to rob of them every single day? Who else did Jesus prioritize? There's a tax collector named Zacchaeus. He walks down the street, sees this guy in a tree, says, Zacchaeus, get down, bud, we're going to have lunch today. Jesus prioritized those that people didn't want to spend time with. Who today would go to one of the Guptas, say, listen here, dude, come. We're having lunch today. I mean, come on, Jesus had lunch with Zacchaeus, and then Zacchaeus paid back the money. That's supposed to be funny. Thank you. My point is, Jesus prioritized time with people that needed his time. And he didn't waste his time with things that were not going to achieve his purpose. When we look at Jesus, he's forever on a hill praying, seeking God's will, and then going and doing. But I think in between that, we also see he took breaks. I mean, if I'm just thinking in the adult world, I mean, who's ever seen the picture of a parent that's busy trying to get some work done at a table? And then you have a little kid, but mommy, 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 this, or daddy, 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 this. What's most important in that scenario? Is the piece of work that you're trying to get done? Yes, you need to earn a living. You need to work hard. I mean, the Bible is very clear about that. I mean, when I was looking at this Ecclesiastes, we're looking through Ecclesiastes, we need to be careful that we're not lazy. When I'm saying we need to, well, what I'm wanting to say is that we need to still enjoy life. You know, you still need to eat, drink, and be merry. You need to celebrate things in life. But there's a difference between celebrating things in life and being lazy. In Proverbs leaves for us a very stern warning. I just want to catch a scripture reference here. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24. That's something that always comes into the back of my mind when I'm sort of resting on my laurels or I'm not putting the effort that I should. I'm not putting the effort I feel that I should. I feel like my uncle probably told me this once. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24. No. I'm giving you the wrong reference here. This is not good. In any case, the proverb that I'm looking for talks about a little bit of slumber, a little bit of sleep, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will overcome a man. My point being that if we're not willing to work, if we're not willing to earn our living, you're not going to eat. But what I'm talking about there is being lazy. I'm not talking about still doing a good day's work and prioritizing those things that are important to you. We're not spending time with our family because of some deadline. Is that doing the will of God? I was having a conversation with some friends last night, and we were talking about, of all things, Dacha. And science has proved today that there can be a very useful medicine to relieve certain things. I know there's a group in the US that are busy really pushing for the legalization in certain states of cannabis. But then I hear something at the back of my head that my parents kept telling me when I was young. Everything in moderation. The minute we start doing too much of anything, it's not good for us, church. The minute we spend too much time at work neglecting our family, it's not good for us. The minute we do too little exercise, it's not good for us. The minute we eat too much, it's not good for us. The minute we abuse anything, it's not good for us. Are those things that you are prioritizing, though? Again, back to priorities. Am I prioritizing advancing my career above that of my family? Or advancing my selfish ambition over the will of God? It's a scary thing to think about, church. We have to be really honest with ourselves and say, is what I'm doing today what God has called me to do? I feel like I'm getting a bit off track here. Last time that I spoke, church, I spoke about sacrifice or service being necessary, or sacrifice being necessary to serve. One of the scriptures I turn to, and I want to turn to it again, is is Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Sort of just to reiterate the point that I made earlier. And the story that we're looking at here is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says this, when Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. And he looked at Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Church, are we prioritizing the will of God above our own will? That was the example of Jesus. To the point that it made him uncomfortable. To the point that it made him uncomfortable. How many of us is willing to die for Christ today? Many of us would put our hands up. Yes, I'm willing to die for the gospel. How many of us, when actually faced with the reality of dying for our belief, will still put up our hand? That's a difficult question to ask. Many times I've sat in that chair. Many times we'll hear the question asked. Many times we assert ourselves, yes, that's the decision I'll make. How many of us have actually been faced with that decision? That's a different thing when your life is in your hands and you say, well, what is more important to me? My will or God's will? The next thing I want to sort of encourage you in is if we've established what is important to us, if we've established what our priority is, how are we going to go about it? How are we going to go about making sure that where I am today, or where I am in, let's call it five years from now, is different from where I am today? How am I going to pursue the will of God better than what I did yesterday? And the way that I'd like to propose is a concept I've come across recently. I've recently been following a guy on Facebook. This guy's name's Eric Kruger, and he's opened up he's created this, call it an organization. He calls it Better Man. And the whole point of Better Man is to make better men or have men perform better. So he sends out an email on how, a lot, mainly on sort of self-improvement. But one of the things that he mentions is he mentions a principle called accretion. And essentially what accretion is saying, what can I do better today? And keep building on that. Keep building on that. So it makes me ask a question. With my busyness, what can I do better today? Well, number one, I probably have to start cutting things out that are not as important to me. And start focusing on those that are. I need to prioritize God in the things that I'm busy with. And if he's not in those things, well, are they so important? Probably not. It's a difficult thing to do, church. You're like, everybody's quiet. It's like, oh my goodness, what do I need to cut out? You know what you need to cut out. Maybe God's dealing with things with you right now. I know what I need to cut out because he's been talking to me about it, church. I can't talk about these things unless God's been talking to me about them. I can't expect you to do these things if I'm not willing to do them myself. I think that's how many people feel when they have this forum, is you start delving into these things and you're like, oh my goodness, Jesus, you're going to have to help me. I can't do this. I can't do this by myself. I don't know how you go about cutting out these things. But then we look to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and we read this incredible piece of scripture. And if you think about what sits in Hebrews chapter 11 is essentially guess what we can call the Hall of Fame or the Faith, Faith Hall of Fame. Read about incredible believers before and after. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, it says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off everything that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Hang on a second. Is this guy not talking what I was talking about, what I was just talking about now? We need to strip off those things that are slowing us down. What is that ball and chain that you've been hanging on to for the last 15 years that you don't want to let go? Church, let it go. That thing's slowing you down. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given up your lives. You have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. This is amazing. I've just read a scripture where we talk about how Jesus, before his suffering, before he had to go to the cross, says, God, take this away from me because like I can't deal. This is too difficult. But if it's your will, I'll go do it. And then we read over here about how there was a joy awaiting him afterwards. Church, there is a reward if we are willing to endure. There is a reward if we're going to prioritize Christ in our lives and pursue it. That reward is not an earthly reward. It's a heavenly reward. We need to remember that if we believe in Jesus Christ and that he's risen from the dead and that we will have eternal life, that this is not our home. This is temporary. This is for now. But just now, there's an eternity. I don't know how many of you recall that, I think it's a Francis Chan video my dad showed a few weeks ago, where he shows a rope, taking a rope that is stretched out for eternity, and this small little bit over here is our lives. Church, we need to be living for eternity, and that means we need to prioritize Christ. We need to prioritize God and his will for our lives. We turn to Ephesians 2, verse 10. I heard that, Dad. Oh, I think my dad just mentioned it's one of my favorites. It says, for we are his masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. Church, align what I'm trying to say to us this morning. It's simple. God has a plan for us. If God has a plan for us, and he has had a plan for us from the beginning of time, I need to make it my priority to execute his plan for my life. Can I say that again? I need to make it my priority to execute his plan for my life. It's not going to be easy, church. It never has been. Becoming a Christian is not just simply saying a prayer. Living the life we've been called to live is difficult. Why have so many fallen short? Why does the Bible say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Because if it was easy, we'd all be doing it. But it's not. We've been called to a higher standard. We've been called to set an example. The only way we set that example is if we start doing it little bit by little bit by little bit. Church, I want to encourage you. I don't care who you are, how old you are, what condition you find yourself in, what position you find yourself in life. My Bible tells me that God has a plan for me no matter what. If he's had a plan for me from the beginning of the world, I still have a role to play. The Psalms, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Who still has breath in them this morning? Thank you. Thank you. If you still have breath in you, you can still have an impact for the kingdom of God. You can still be prioritizing how you use your breath to extend the kingdom of God. I've made my points for this morning. If I carry on, I'm just going to be rambling. So I'm going to draw to a close. And I want us to turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. One of the points that I wanted to make clear this morning is that sometimes we need to take our head out of the sand of the rat race. Take back, sit back, and enjoy the things around us. Make time to prioritize those things that are important to you. But make time to prioritize God's will, because that's ultimately what we're here for. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 12 to 14 says this, but my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. Sounds like a man that's worked hard all his life. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including everything in secret, whether good or bad. I ask you to bow your heads. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, that you have an exceptional plan for every single person in this building. Lord, you have a God plan for everybody in this building. But Lord, sometimes we go our own way and we do what we want to do. Father God, would you forgive us for going our own way? Father God, would you help us to realign our lives into your will for our lives? Lord, would you help us to every day just do a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better at pursuing you? Father God, may our lives be shining lights for you. May we find our lives in line with your word. And Father God, where we're not, help us come back in line. Father God, I want to thank you that each person in this building has a future and a hope that is with you, Jesus, in heaven. Help us to live that out. Help us to live that out. Help us to prioritize your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.